Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, it is Sound Off Monday, where you get to sound off on whatever you'd like. Hearing a bunch on the text lines from folks that are very concerned about finding out what their ACA exchange obtained health insurance premiums might be come November 21st. We want to hear from you. We want to hear about your family stories, whether it has to deal with the big brutal bill, the ACA subsidy withdrawal, which the big brutal bill made happen. You can call us at 855-755-0771. That's 855-755-0771. Or you can email us to tell us your family story at wematter@civicmedia.us. That's wematter@civicmedia.us. For the rest of the show, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Of course, I've got headlines and news that popped to the top of my mind this afternoon. And one of those big news stories today is this. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin will resume abortion services nearly a month after pausing them to assess how to comply with Donald Trump's new tax and spending law, which bars clinics that provide abortion from receiving any Medicaid funds for other services. I want to be very, very clear here that for decades and decades, it has been the law in the United States that no federal tax dollars can be used to fund abortion services. Long-standing law, that is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the fact that the big brutal bill, despite the fact that, for example, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin provides all kinds of essential life-saving health care that is not abortion. I'm talking about prenatal care, breast exams, early mother wellness checks if someone is pregnant, all sorts of OBGYN services, huge swaths of has nothing to do with abortion health care that Planned Parenthood also provides. Yeah, that's what the GOP. That's the funding that they yanked. Has nothing to do with federal dollars going to abortion care. What they're saying is, oh, if you also provide abortions, which we disagree with, then even if your state, remember that state's rights thing? Yeah, even if your state permits legal abortion, you can't get any federal tax dollars for any of the other completely not abortion-related essential life-saving health care that you might provide. Planned Parenthood moving forward, it will essentially relinquish its essential community provider status, which allowed it to receive some Medicaid funds for these other non-abortion related services. CEO Tanya Atkinson said services and costs should remain stable, though ultimately the funding impacts are unknown. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Again, it is a specific, intentional defunding of organizations, as well as the ACA, that help regular people who may not have health insurance through their employers or because they work multiple part-time jobs, get insured, get access to health care. Here again is the GOP literally burying its head in the sand, saying, I don't want to deal with reality. I want to create these false boogeymen and attack those false boogeymen so I can dismantle the programs and the funding sources that enable working poor and working families who fall through the gaps of our for-profit healthcare system in this country that helps them get insurance. It is not about the little guy. It is not about regular people. It's about tax breaks and handouts and corporate welfare for mega corporations and the billionaire class. That is who they care about. Just look at the impact of their policies as opposed to their rhetoric. David from San Francisco, welcome to the show. What you got for us this afternoon, sir?
Oh, thanks, Maggie. I was on a different topic, but the Planned Parenthood, though, I'm old enough to remember when they pretty much got started. A girlfriend of a friend of mine in high school got pregnant, and she had to, secretly go off to some mysterious doctor somewhere, and there was blackmail potential. You know, at that time, this was when it was still illegal. This was before 1972. Yes. And soon as she got back, she got pregnant again, and my God, that just stirred up any number of hassles within that whole family. And but Planned Parenthood was a very courageous organization at the time, and I'm trying to remember if they cautiously acknowledged that they were giving abortions just so they could take it to the Supreme Court, just so they could be test cases. And when it starts, when you start looking at abortion and organized crime, you know, before it was made illegal, there are any number of different books that talk about the blackmail potential that was used. In fact, there's a Frank Sinatra biography by Kitty Kelley, and it in the opening chapter it talks about Frank Sinatra's mother was one of the biggest abortionists in she was based in New Jersey, but she was one of the wealthiest women in the world in the United States at the time because of blackmail. That not only could you you know give an abortion, but you'd get a free extortion. And that all sorts of people were blackmailed, politicians, mistresses of millionaires, Hollywood starlets, all sorts of different people that were being blackmailed. And it was horrible for the economy, but what made it worse was that if there was a general who had a mistress and had an abortion, then that the top secrets could be available to organized crime. You know, as part of the blackmail, they'd have to give up top secrets. And
The sad part
this
about
was
your
one.
observation, David, is when you look to a state like Texas, who basically has legalized roving abortion ban, marauding citizens to rat out their fellow citizens who they suspect may have obtained an abortion. Like, that's where we're at. It is creation, not only, you know, extortionary materials, but they're trying to build in incentives into state laws for other people, your neighbors, your coworkers, to police women's bodies and periods in states where abortion is illegal. It's downright Margaret Atwood, Handmaid's Tale weirdness right now.
And that attorney general down there, Paxton, is he's
Yes.
basically organized crime himself. And when you look at that
Yes.
fund, I think there's a $10,000 bounty. You know, each woman that has an abortion or they even suspect that she has an abortion, there's a $10,000 bounty for snitching her out. Well, what about the fund? Because if you pay a snitch, is that taxable? Or is it under the table kind of money? And I suspect that Paxton is basically stealing that money. He's coming up with cockamamie names and then paying out $10,000 bounties to unknown people. And
Yeah, there's in that kind of a system, David, there is a lot of potential for gross civil rights abuses. Folks, if you're not familiar with Ken Paxton's sordid history of corruption, do yourself a favor this Monday afternoon. Do a 5-minute, like, little Google search on Ken Paxton. He is arguably one of the most corrupt sitting state attorney generals in the country right now. At least that is what the allegations and numerous criminal cases have been about. Criminal cases being brought in the state of Texas by other Republicans, which is always notable. When it's the Republicans going after other Republicans, you know you've got some rot. Charles from Milwaukee, you're up next, sir. What do you got for us?
hey, good afternoon, Maggie. My sound off is on just the blatant cheating that's going on. You know, the 2024 election, presidential election, it was about 4 million people taken off the voting rolls a couple of weeks before election time. You look at the gerrymandering. There's a time limit at when that should be done. Well, they decided. They know they're going to lose the midterm. So Trump calls in some governors and say, hey, I need for you guys to, you know, help me
Cheat.
scam the system so that I can not have to deal with the Democratic Party, the House, come the 26th midterms. And if your platform is that great And your platform is helping all American people, whether they voted for you or not. Why do you need to cheat? And why aren't conservatives asking that same question of that politician? Why are we trying to, why do we need to do underhanded things to beat the Democratic Party? If we're saying the Democratic Party is so weak and they don't have good ideas, then why are we cheating to beat them? Because it's not happening like that on the Democratic side. Yeah, you may have some gerrymandering.
Yeah, Democrats haven't engaged in mid-decade gerrymandering. They're doing so in response to the mid-decade cheat that is coming from the MAGA party. Kelvin, if you can cue up cut 16 here. This is so what Charles just pointed out, everybody, you have to see also in the broader context. First of all, if you want to spend another 10 minutes going down a Google rabbit hole on the fact that the GOP has acknowledged out loud many times that voter ID and all this election integrity stuff. Yeah, this is cut 16, Cal Hegseth. Yes, that the voter ID, all of the voter election integrity stuff, that's about suppressing the votes of young people, disabled people, and black and brown folks. That's thing one. Thing two is obviously the mid-decade gerrymander is supposed to basically rob people of the right to choose their representatives based on the maps as drawn after the decennial census. That is an obvious cheat. But what's also happening is the Trump Department of Justice trying to get their hands on what? Voting machines and voter rolls, right? Many states cooperating with them, installing conspiracy theorists from that were aligned with Trump in the 2020 election into key oversight and election administration offices. You've got a MAGA operative that has now bought Dominion voting systems. You have all of that going on. Oh, yeah. And Donald Trump may be authorizing a 50-state strike force of National Guard and or military. You know, we'd be about a year out from those midterm elections right now. Wonder what that is about. Cal, let's roll the tape. Here's Pete Hegseth being asked directly about this and Secretary basically Hegseth, admitting that the plan exists.
Sir, for Secretary Hegseth, sir, a memo circulating on social media details the establishment of a National Guard response force that's going to be trained in crowd control and civil unrest and deployed in all 50 states by April of 2026. Can you verify the authenticity of that memo, and do you have any more information on the operations?
I'm not going to answer particulars on something that may be in the planning process, but we definitely do have multiple layers of National Guard response forces, whether it's in each state, whether it's regionally, whether it's Title 10 active duty, whether it's Washington, D.C. We've got a lot of different ways.
So to get this straight, ladies and gentlemen, as we approach the midterm elections in 2026, remember the history of voter suppression of the modern MAGA party. Remember that they're trying to seize voting machines, that a MAGA lackey bought Dominion voting systems, that they're trying to get voter logs, and oh yeah, they've got a plan to deploy the National Guard in all 50 states. I wonder what that's all about. Nothing to see here, though. Stay with me. More headlines, and you're sounding off when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.